Hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of Reimagining Justice, Texas Impact's special 10-part series on health equity. This series is part of our ongoing podcast, Weekly Witness, which equips Texans of faith for leadership and policy advocacy and civic engagement. I'm Scott Atnip, Texas Impact's Outreach Coordinator, and your host today. You can find more information about today's episode, including blog posts and other resources, on our website at texasimpact.org/weeklywitness. If you've heard the expression, your lifespan should be a function of your genetic code, not your zip code, you've been introduced to the idea of health equity. In the past 10 years, media attention has focused increasingly on the reality that health status, longevity, and other indicators of physical and emotional well-being are functions of a complex set of factors, including race, income, intergenerational wealth, educational status, and more. It turns out that having health insurance and access to healthcare are just one important piece of the puzzle. Health equity should be a primary concern for faith communities because local congregations interact with vulnerable people through a variety of outreach activities, so we're well positioned to understand the connections between the many inputs that impact health. Things like access to healthy food, the availability of safe, affordable housing, and even proximity to sources of pollution. Those are all things that we call social determinants of health. Big words and big phrase for today, the things that drive health status. We hope this podcast series inspires you to learn more about health equity and the social determinants of health in your local community so you can be an effective advocate for a healthy future for all Texans. I am honored to be joined by today's guest, repeat guest, Laura Garicardis, Deputy Director of the Children's Defense Fund. Laura, thank you so much for joining us.
Very happy to be here.
So, let's start out today with maybe you telling us about the health equity challenges facing Texas children.
Yeah, I think they're not unique to Texas children. I think the conversation about health equity and social determinants of health is something that the entire nation is looking at and trying to figure out. The idea that simply giving a child access to healthcare coverage or any individual, won't yield as many positive impacts if the child doesn't have a stable home to live in, if there's they're experiencing toxic stress in the household, if they don't even have access to quality education, all of those things impact how well and how healthy a child is. And so I think those conversations are happening in Texas, and we're trying to figure it out like the rest of the nation. The Children's Defense Fund and the Children's Health Coverage Coalition and others actually submitted an interim charge proposal, so something for the legislature to study between this session and that just finished and the next one, to actually look at the social determinants of health. Or conversely, look at children as an age range, so from 0 to 3 years old, because that gets us a little bit more out of a siloed view of a child, just looking at their healthcare, just looking at their access to food, and starting to look at the child more holistically. That said, a fundamental part of having healthier children is still whether they have access to healthcare coverage. It's a part of the building block that does need to be there.
Yeah, and I love Texas as much as the next person, if not more. I've lived here my entire life and, Texas forever, right? But we're really bad at this, right?
Yes, we, for I think as long as I've been working in this, which is over 10 years, have had the highest and worst rate of uninsured people and children in the country. Currently we more than double the national average. And concerningly, after 10 years of steady improvement, our child uninsured rate has begun to get worse. It began to get worse last year, and all signs point to it continuing to get worse when the census numbers come out this fall. That's a crisis for us, for hundreds and thousands of children in Texas to not be connected to healthcare coverage has immediate consequences on that child, on their family, on the community. It's a public health concern. So it's something that we really need to focus on. We also have the highest rate of uninsured people in the country and the highest rate of women of childbearing age in the country, where 1 in 4 is lacking coverage. That's a big problem when we're facing high maternal mortality rates and poor infant mortality, you know, indicators, or, you know, higher infant mortality and other infant health indicators in Texas. Coverage really is it's an essential building block to address nearly every healthcare crisis happening in our state. So whether you look at our high rate of rural hospital closures, making sure they have more insured patients to see and a payment source for patients is a critical piece of the puzzle. We talked about maternal mortality. We don't have enough mental health services or substance use disorder treatment services. And that's because way too many Texans are trying to deal with those issues without having healthcare coverage. And so, you know, our state really needs to start addressing that. And us on the advocate side have worked on this, you know, for, you know, since the Affordable Care Act passed and Medicaid expansion became a state option. We've, you know, urged the, basically we've gotten everybody under the sun in Texas to agree that we need to take our share of Medicaid dollars and either do Medicaid expansion or an alternative solution. But unfortunately, those at the very top of Texas leadership have been unwilling to take action. And so, you know, we have some ideas of what could help to change that.
Yeah, so let's talk about that some. So it seems like folks across the spectrum in Texas think that something needs to happen. From the Texas Impact End, we survey our members from time to time, and every time health coverage and health care at or near the top of the priorities of Texans of faith. So with all that being said, and the fact that this is such a challenge for people here in the state of Texas, we just finished a legislative session. What happened on this front during the session?
Yeah. So, you know, starting with the good notes, right? There was some bills passed that can help some maternal health issues, that can help improve access and transparency within Medicaid managed care, and some new policies that can help pregnant women get to their doctor's appointments. You know, and then there's additional some funding for mental health care services and schools and things of that sort. But one thing that was clearly ignored this legislative session is coverage. And in fact, we often even have a hard time getting legislatures to even acknowledge that we have the highest rate and number of uninsured people and children in the country. So there was a really well-known bill that would have provided women who get pregnancy Medicaid, allowing them to stay on coverage for an entire year, for 12 months. Right now, their coverage ends 2 months after the baby is delivered. But what the research found was that the majority of maternal deaths were actually happening later than 60 days after delivery and within that year period. And so there was very strong bipartisan support for that bill, and it did pass the House, but it failed to get any attention in the Senate. Medicaid expansion got a hearing, which was the first hearing time, right? In 6 years, actually. But, you know, failed to move. But I think for me, what's the most shocking example of how much healthcare coverage is not being prioritized by our by the majority in our legislature, and certainly the leadership. There was a bill this year that would have cost nothing to help 50,000 kids keep their healthcare coverage and keep from falling off of it. Some data was finally produced by the agency that showed that when our state started implementing monthly income checks in our Medicaid population that is totally automated, so it's just a system kind of running data checks in the background, you know, data systems aren't perfect. And the system is flagging children who are in families who may be over income, and letters are being sent out asking that families provide more information. But, you know, basically the family, there's only a 10-day window before kids are being automatically disenrolled for Medicaid. So often families didn't get the letters, or they got the letter after the due date or within days of it being due. And many times, not at all. So they're showing up.
I want to be clear. There are a lot of times I go 10 days without opening my mail. Just to throw that out there.
Yes. And so they're showing up to doctor's offices for their child's appointment and finding out that their child no longer has health care coverage. And what we found is of every 10 children that are being automatically disenrolled for Medicaid, only one of them was verified to be over the income. And nine out of 10 are losing healthcare coverage just because of a paperwork issue. And that's adding up to about 50,000 kids a year. So the agency ran some numbers on what it would cost to take us back to what's called 6 months continuous eligibility, essentially that once a child gets enrolled, they get uninterrupted coverage for 6 months, then they're checked again, and then they get another period of uninterrupted coverage for 6 months. And they said that they could do that with existing funds, that it could actually cost nothing. And so when that bill fails to get momentum and fails to pass in the last days of session, it really sends a message that you know, that coverage is not really a priority.
And so one of the things that Josh said a lot of times on Weekly Witness and leading up to the legislative session is that for one quarter of the two-year biennium, we're asking legislators for something, right? Like we're going to their offices, we're making telephone calls. But for the other three quarters of the biennium, it's their turn to ask us for something. And that's asking us for their vote. And that means that legislators are now coming to meet with us and scheduling meetings. So this is the time that we should be having conversations with the members of the legislature. And so it sounds, based on our conversations, that you're looking to organize some folks to have those conversations, right?
Yeah. So the conversation started about a year ago amongst Texas Impact, Children's Defense Fund, and other healthcare advocates looking at, you know, what is it going to take for the Texas legislature and Texas leadership to address our healthcare coverage crisis, you know, having the highest rate of uninsured people and children in the country. And we realized we'd done everything that we could within the legislative session, within, you know, those 6 months that the legislature ends. We have data, we have reports, we have, you know, the business community and support and every researcher, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really more of a political issue, not a policy issue. And so how you address something that, you know, is being held up for a political reason and not a policy issue is not with more data necessarily. It's about, you know, it becomes about making sure that elected officials and actually candidates running for every office understand that their local community wants them to address this issue. And so we started, essentially it's a public interest-led nonpartisan grassroots campaign for healthcare coverage with the goal of making healthcare coverage a priority in our next legislative session. And the way it poses to do that is by lifting local voices to send a clear message to elected officials and candidates that that they need to address this. And so we have a campaign called #SickOfItTX that people can connect to. And we are holding monthly calls with advocates across the state on what we can do together to make sure that local voices are piercing through and being heard. And we already have, you know, we started recruitment for this a few months ago. We already have 50 advocates from across the state who have signed up for the program of being on those monthly calls. That's called the Healthcare Activist Leadership Network. So where you're, you know, submitting your name that you want to be a local leader and you want to be connected to us in that way. And, you know, they're joining us every month and we're providing them tools and resources on, you know, how to raise their voices. And our signature event for this fall is going to be on November 9th and 10th, and they're going to be block walks for healthcare.
Okay.
And folks can either organize a block walk in their community or have a virtual block walk where they're doing it in at a church or an institution of faith and essentially asking folks three questions. Do you have health insurance? Do your children have health insurance? And what do you do when you get sick? One, it's going to be a statewide event, so our hope is that we'll have many events and many people involved to send a message, again, to the legislature that we're here and we're organized and we expect them to pay attention to this issue. But two, it's to give participants of this day of action or weekend of action, it'll probably be a week of action, actually, an experience of really talking to people in their community and connecting with the stories and the healthcare issues affecting their neighbors. You know, and of course, it's an opportunity to collect stories, even anonymous stories from people that can, you know, that the campaign will really be able to use to further elevate this issue and build momentum.
First of all, I like block walking in November a lot better than August and September, so good choice on dates. Where can people go to find more information, or what do you hope people will do next?
Honestly, I hope that they'll connect with the #SickOfItTX campaign. There'll be something for everybody to do that wants to be part of this movement, and it's kind of up to us. The legislature won't really do this without prompting. So if we want to make sure that our state is using our healthcare, is bringing back our federal tax dollars, is using our healthcare dollars wisely, is making sure people have access to healthcare coverage, and ensuring that our hospitals are healthy to serve everybody, it is going to take us, the people. You know, at this point, it's the people power that's probably the most difficult to organize, but the most powerful, you know, tool we have, if we can get organized, that's going to make the difference.
All right. Let's pause real quick for a quick message from our sponsors.
You're listening to Reimagining Justice, Texas Impact's special podcast series on health equity. Texas Impact is Texas's oldest and largest interfaith advocacy network. We work for freedom, justice, and opportunity for all people. We advance public policies that are consistent with broadly held religious social teachings by mobilizing people of faith to talk to policymakers and to other members of their communities. To find out more and get involved, go to our website, www.texasimpact.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Reimagining Justice is made possible by the generous support of Methodist Healthcare Ministries of South Texas. serving humanity to honor God by improving the physical, mental, and spiritual health of those least served in the Rio, Texas Conference of the United Methodist Church. Methodist Healthcare Ministries is a private, faith-based, not-for-profit organization dedicated to creating access to healthcare for the uninsured in South Texas through direct services, community partnerships, and strategic grant making. Reimagining Justice is also supported by the DentaQuest Partnership for Oral Health Advancement, revolutionizing oral health to create an effective and equitable system that results in improved oral health and well-being for everyone. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of Texas Impact and do not necessarily reflect the views of our sponsors. If you appreciate this podcast, we hope you will consider financially supporting Texas Impact with a monthly contribution. You can donate securely and easily on our website, texasimpact.org. And now, back to our program.
All right, welcome back. And I know Texas Impact is excited for this campaign. I wonder what you hope people will learn from this organizing experience.
Yeah, so if people connect with us, one, they'll get connected to other enthusiastic healthcare advocates in their community and across the state. Two, they'll get, content that is usable in raising their voices. So, for example, we'll be sharing healthcare questions for candidates and talking points for meeting with your policymakers. But we'll also be, training people on how you write op-eds and letters to the editor, or how you build a team to be able to do op-eds and letter to the editor. You might like to be the organizer, and somebody might prefer to be the writer, and a third person might like to identify people who want to put their name on the op-eds that your team produces. Training on social media content, so how we make sure that meetings we have and work that we do is being seen by other people. And for those that are really interested, we'll have a regional coordinator training sometime in the spring where people will actually get to come to Austin and spend a weekend with us and really get a lot of experienced organizers to really talk to them about how you build coalitions and how you make sure folks from affected communities are part of your coalitions and things of that sort.
Yeah, I think one of the things I'm excited about is we talk with congregations all the time and advocates and people of faith that if you're going to effectively advocate, you need to understand the needs of your local community. And so it sounds like this is a great opportunity to go out and meet your neighbors, to have conversations, and to lift up those stories moving forward. I'm going to ask you to dream a little bit. What do you hope comes out of this in the next year?
Oh, my hope is that in 2021, our legislature decides to bring down our Medicaid dollars and finally provide a coverage solution for every Texan living in our state. No matter who you are or how much you make at your job or where you work, you should have an affordable path to healthcare coverage.
Yeah, and that benefits people, that it benefits communities, that benefits all of us, right?
Yeah. I mean, the large majority of people who are uninsured are working, but their jobs do not provide health insurance. And I think most of us, except the very wealthiest, would not be able to afford healthcare coverage on our own.
Yeah. So any shameless plugs you want to leave us with today?
No, I hope people will join our campaign. And if you're not interested, but you know others that might be, please spread the word and let's get connected and let's do something about healthcare coverage.
Hashtag again is?
#SickOfItTX.
All right. Well, we'll be looking for you there. Laura, thank you so much for your time. You are an amazing advocate, and we certainly appreciate the work you're doing each and every day. Thank you for your service on behalf of Texas Children. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. We will release more content next week, and we'll also be providing updates on this campaign on our weekly witness page and on Texas Impact social media, so make sure to tune in there. Until next week, I hope that you'll go ahead and rate and review the podcast, share this content with your friends and congregations. And if you've made it this far in the program, you must love us. So make sure that you and your congregations are members of Texas Impact by going to texasimpact.org/join. Thanks again. We'll see you next week. Until then, let's get to work.
Reimagining Justice is a production of Texas Impact and the Texas Interfaith Center for Public Policy. Executive producer, Bea Moorhead. Our series is recorded in Austin, Texas.